1027 Business with Michael Avery.
Well, we know the needs of the residential property consumer have been in flux due to the current fast-evolving state of the world after COVID. People returning back to the office, wanting flexibility, wanting to try and insulate themselves against load shedding. And one property company that's thinking about this quite hard at the moment is Attack, the South African-based real estate investment trust, best known for its waterfall precinct. It's really a pioneer of this innovative precinct hub concept. It listed on the JSE back in 2013 and really drives capital growth by creating what it calls smart, safe, sustainable community spaces with remarkable experiences. As I said, it's built this diversified portfolio that comprises, on the one hand, this award-winning waterfall city precinct, and then on the other, the rest of the South Africa real estate portfolio. Well, to talk about this, I'm joined by Jackie van Niekerk, who's the CEO of Attack, and she's joined by her colleague David Ursazen, who's an Attack development executive. So welcome to the show, both. Jackie, just kickstart us off. Well, what is currently reshaping the needs of the residential property consumer?
Yeah, good afternoon, Michael, and thanks for having us on your show. You know, it's a difficult question. We're constantly evaluating the need, especially moving into the residential. We've had great success with Ellipse Phase 1 and 2, over 90% sold, which is the high-end luxury apartment units. We're starting to see that the trend is evolving, very much linked to the South African economy. You've got what we call the digital nomad, not wanting to settle down. Your youngsters, you know, working 2-3 years at Deloitte, hopping over to another job, or maybe, you know, working internationally. So I think post-COVID, the trends are still evolving, but definitely a strong rental market for our digital nomads, and a big focus for safety and security, which is a big trend that we're seeing come through.
And then for you, David, as a property developer, how do you address an issue like digital nomad, for example, which is all about flexibility in this fast-moving world?
Yeah, it is about flexibility, but I think, as Jackie said, you know, the environment is changing monthly, quarterly. It's evolving. So it's interesting, you know, when pre-COVID, everybody was moving into open-plan offices. Then during COVID, everybody was talking about cellular offices. And now we're back to a combination. We're dealing with a client now for an office space, and they're looking for cellular. So there's definitely not one fit all. I think from our side, and I think what we're trying to focus on is our infrastructure. I think infrastructure is going to drive deal flow in our space for the next coming years, and I think that's where Waterfall is different. I think from a precinct point of view, our infrastructure is certainly up there with one of the most competitive in the country, and I think that's where we're trying to focus a lot of our attention at the moment.
David, does a lot of that require you to become fairly self-sufficient from an infrastructure perspective, to go off the grid, to control the power situation, to control potential water shortages? As we see, sadly, the public infrastructure is just falling apart.
Yeah, so I mean, solar's been around a while, and obviously there's a big focus on rooftop solar. We are trying to address taking that one step further, which Jackie can maybe elaborate on. It's early days, but we have signed some heads of terms on something that's quite exciting. And then obviously I think even a bigger challenge going forward is going to be the water space. We've seen that deteriorate quite drastically over the last 24 months. But we've been putting backup facilities for a number of years here at Waterfall. And on a facility that we've actually just launched last week for the Cotton On head office in DC, we've put in rainwater harvesting, which is also becoming a norm. So yeah, we're catering for it, and I think we're a little ahead of the game in that regard.
Jackie, how are you approaching this from a capital allocation perspective as the CEO? You've got to weigh up you know, the cost-benefit analysis and decide where to spend your capital in order to ensure this energy resilience, and it certainly doesn't look like load shedding is going away anytime soon.
Yeah, it's very much a capital allocation play for us in an Attack. You know, we look at our ESG, and we've called it our integrated it E plan, which is our environmental plan within in our business. So how do we create, as our purpose said, a sustainable future, sustainable communities? It's really linked to the E plan, and how does that capital allocation make sense for us? So for in order for us to build the city, we need to make sure that we invest in the future. We've also started looking at and signed an heads of term with a PPA, a power purchase agreement, where we will start generating green power in the Northern Cape, and that will be wheeled via Eskom into our grid, which again doesn't just bring, you know, power at a cheaper rate, it brings clean power. We assisting Eskom with grid capacity, and then we're also making sure that our clientele, being our digital nomads that rent residential space from us, our residential high-end units, our office users, our logistics users, the mall users, you know, that 40% potentially of their power is green power, and that we can also provide that assurance and certainty. So for us, it's about how do we create a city that over the 20-30 years is secure, it's safe, and it's stable for business and also our digital nomads, you know, so we make sure that we cater from end to end. But yeah, the capital allocation must make sense, and we sometimes look at longer term returns. As we know, water is a slow return, but we feel that it's vital for, again, the stability of building a world-class city.
Sadly, all the signs are that water is going to become the next Eskom, and while you can live without power for a few hours or even a few days or weeks, try and live without water. That's where we'll really see things starting to fall apart, which is quite frightening, to be honest with you. But I want to come back to you, David, on, you know, how you assess whether or not a trend is here to stay for the long run in order to allocate capital behind that decision, or it's something that's just more of a passing fad. Do you have a framework that you filter it through or screen it through? How do you approach this?
I think we try and stay very close to our client. You know, our client obviously drives that. You know, we're a bit unique in a sense that all our development is essentially happening at waterfall. So we've got a very high-level touch with our client. We also have internalized our asset management division and the property management division. So we're in front of our clients a lot more than some of our competitors who outsource that. So that drives it, but we also have a lot of internal conversation around it. I mean, we certainly aren't trying to build a city here that's here for the next 5 years. I mean, we have a development rollout period of at least the next 20, and we've got a future profit, and we've got to provide infrastructure that's obviously flexible. What buildings are going to be designed today are certainly not going to be the same buildings for the future. So as I go again, we really are focused on the infrastructure and how we're designing that and how we're obviously taking it forward over the next 10 to 20 years.
And within that, we really need to talk about adaptation to climate change. We saw what happened in Durban recently. The infrastructure there has been designed for a 1 in 50, 1 in 60 year weather event, and the science is telling us that these are going to become more and more frequent, 1 in 5, 1 in 10 year events. So that means one needs to start thinking about your built environment, building in adaptation, building in resilience. How are you thinking about this, Jackie, through your ESG lens?
Yeah, so interesting enough, we've actually got a very nice story that I can share quickly. We have installed our own weather station, so we're localizing our climate. We cannot rely on Joburg weather station, as we've seen that we've got a localized weather patterns within Midrand. And we've picked up at a Mall of Africa, we've got an ETF roof that regulates itself through a membrane, and then the scope that we did initially was wrong because of climate change, and we had to rescope it. So climate change affects our aircon design of our buildings. It affects how we build the north facing, the facade treatment of our buildings. So we're trying to localize our climate, and we're trying to build buildings that is more self-sustainable in terms of less usage of AC facilities, aircon facilities, to ensure that we're not reliant on power usage, but that we're more reliant on our localized climate and adapting to the changes locally. So I think we wanted to steps ahead of the curve in South Africa by localizing our weather station and understanding the weather patterns, and then designing the buildings in accordance to the localized weather patterns.
Well, it sounds like I'm going to be coming to you for the weather forecast when there's cricket at Centurion or even at the Wanderers in future, Jackie. But in all seriousness, there's another issue that's been bothering the market, and that's obviously this discount to net asset value that we're seeing in the REIT space. It was the best performing sector on the JSE last year, the REIT sector. So we have seen share prices bounce back, but that discount to net asset value is still yawning. When do you expect it to return to pre-COVID levels?
Sure, I wish I had answers for you. I think it's all about certainty and business confidence. A few years ago, we did an interesting exercise where we took the REIT sector from a trade point of view, we overlaid it with the business confidence sector index. And you'll see there's a very strong correlation between the business confidence index and the REIT performance. And I definitely think the narrowing the gap is going to take some time, and it's very much linked to business confidence, it's confidence in ESCOM, confidence of what will happen with government, the ANC elections up in the end of the year, infrastructure, municipalities, inflation. We've got this, stagflation that's hanging over our heads globally. So I think it's going to be a while, and then for business confidence to restore properly. And I think we need some policy decisions and the political environment also to coincide with that business confidence.
Yeah, all of those are outside of your control, unfortunately. But what you are doing is controlling what is in your control, and that is an approach to property asset management that is seeing you build this resilience into Waterfall that has led it to be really a flagship when it comes to these mixed-use precincts and developments. That was Jackie Vernikak and David Oosthuizen of ATTAC sharing how they're approaching to this changing consumer environment here on Hot Business.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.